Hello, lovelies. Welcome to Horror 421, the podcast, with your host, your friendly small-town horror author, Charles Campbell. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the frights in this week's episode.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Horror 421, the podcast. I'm your host, small town horror author Charles Campbell, and I'm super excited today. I have a very special guest. She was on our podcast a couple of years ago, and I'm so happy that we have her back for this season. She was the star of the movie Siren, and before that, she was the star of the movie VHS, one of the stars. And she's an amazing actress, and she has done so much more than this. Let me tell you, one of my favorite movies of hers is called Hold Me, and that's a drama, and I love it so much. I've seen it a couple times. But anyway, welcome to the show, Hannah Fearman.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm excited to see you again. I didn't realize it had been 2 years.
Yeah, it's been a while. You've done so much since then. I was telling Hannah before we got on air that she's done so much. I've taken so many notes that I don't even know where to start. I know where she wants to go, so we will go there very soon. But a couple things. She does have a movie out that you can go see right now. It's called I'll Be Watching. I watched the trailer for it, and wow, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it probably today. And it's kind of like if you were trapped in a smart house with someone in there with you. Is that kind of the vibe of the movie?
Yeah. It was written and produced by Sarah Simetti-Michaels, and it is the cast is fantastic. But Seth Michaels is one of the stars in it as well, and he was my televangelist. We can bring it back in. Yeah.
Awesome. That is amazing. Well, Hannah has done so much. You know, so much in the 2 years that we've talked. She's produced all kinds of things. She's produced a creature feature called Bunker Heights, which will be out soon, maybe?
No, it'll probably be next year.
Oh, next year? Okay.
Yeah, I'd imagine probably early next year. We are moving really fast with it, though, but it's just a couple of us, so
okay.
Yeah.
Well, there's a trailer out there for it. I watched the trailer. She's also is an actress in it, and she produces it, and she's produced all kinds of stuff. A couple weeks ago, I watched the movie Late Checkout, and you caught my eye immediately because it listed you as one of the producers. I was like, oh my gosh, she's into everything. So
yeah, that was fun. That was a fun movie to watch. I recently watched that. And yeah, I was originally cast in it, but I had an emergency and wasn't able to do it. And, but I had helped out with, some of the, I think I helped out with the casting and, getting some of the investors, so they actually, it was more of like a honorary thing because I had helped so much, but I didn't get to act in it. They were like, would you like to be a producer? And I was like, that's so sweet of you. Yeah. All right.
Sure. Well, we're going to get into your directing a little bit because you have an amazing knack for that too. You're multi-talented. So I watched Dead by Midnight, Why to Kill today, and we'll talk about that a little bit, and then we'll get into Dark Circles. But Televangelist is the piece you directed. Can you tell the audience a little bit about Dark Circles, the anthology, and the piece you directed? Because I want to talk about a couple of those things. It was hilarious. I was laughing throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, you mean Dead by Midnight, the anthology.
Dead by Midnight. Why to Kill is what I think it said. Yeah. Yeah. And Hell Evangelist was your episode.
That's right. Okay. So this is a funny story. After I did Siren, I think it was the IT guy, Tony Remus, we chatted quite a bit on set. And after we filmed Siren, he wanted me to do an anthology called Dead by Midnight, 11 p.m. Central. He wanted me to act in it. And, we had so much fun doing that movie that they decided to do a sequel, and they called me up and they're just like, you want to act in it? And at that time I was married to Josh Wilcox, who is a very, very talented writer. And so I brought it up to them. I was just like, hey, how about Josh writes a segment? And they were like, well, actually, yes. And also we want you to direct one. And so Josh and I wrote the segment Hell Evangelist together. It was my idea and he really, you know, fleshed it out. And so Dead by Midnight, White to Kill came out before Dead by Midnight, 11 p.m. Central. So I'm not even sure if Dead by Midnight, 11 p.m. Central, which was the first anthology that I was talking about that I acted in, I'm not sure if it'll ever come out, but this is technically
a sequel. Oh, yeah. Wow. That's crazy because I watched this on Amazon today. I popped it up and I actually bought it and then I sat down and watched it and you drove the movie. I mean, you were like the narrator through the whole thing. You had little funny segments. I thought you were great. So yeah. The granny in Hell Evangelist, that was a very well written story. So if you wrote that, I give you all the credit in the world. I thought it was fantastic and kind of the way she, you know, helped her family by doing some things she shouldn't have done. Well, maybe she should have. Hell, I don't know. But it was a very fun watch. So are there any interesting stories from being on that set and filming that and being behind the lens? I know when we talked last, you were talking that you were getting into directing and we're looking forward to doing that sort of stuff. So do you have anything to share? You know, how has it been different behind the camera instead of in front of the camera?
Well, it was nerve-wracking at very first, but then after the first day, me and Sarah Simonetti Michaels again, she wrote the movie that you just watched. I'll be watching.
The one that I'm going to watch. Yeah.
Yep.
I'll be watching. The Smart House movie.
Right. So I acted in So she was my producer. We were at Fright Fest in London and we were there with this movie called St. Agatha that we'd done back in 2017. And we were hanging out, having lunch. And I was just like, hey, would you produce this for me? And she was just like, absolutely. I would love to. And I was like, cool. And her husband is Seth Michaels. And I was just like, do you think Seth would be interested in playing the televangelist in the segment? And she was like, I'm sure he'd love it. And so that's how I got them on board. And the lead actress, the beautiful lady Marilyn Light, I met her on the set of St. Agatha. So that was just like a wealth of wonderful people that I met on St. Agatha. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it was an amazing short. I loved it. And the whole movie was great. And your parts were certainly excellent. And you kind of drove it because you kind of narrated, you know, and brought each short to the eyes of the people. But that Jasper, I don't know if you watched that. That was another short in the movie with the cartoon character. Oh my God, that was so funny.
That was Bill Moseley.
Jasper? Oh, that he played Jasper?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that was hilarious. Yeah. They were all good. All the stories were good. Clean Your Room and the little fake commercials you had through there, Kane Hodder and Murderall.
The commercials were my favorite part.
Oh my God. Murderall, you know, that's what you take when you don't want to kill people. So it was, loved it. And, you know, you also got to have the bag of dicks.
That's Davy Crimmins. And she stole the movie for me with that bag of dicks. And I didn't even think it was funny. Like, I didn't think the trope was funny until I saw her deliver it. And I was just like, that's brilliant. I love you.
It was all in the delivery, but it was hilarious. Yeah. I mean, she drove me crazy watching that stuff. That was amazing. All right. We're going to get off Dead by Midnight. And we're going to get to something you want to talk about today. Dark Circles. I've been waiting on pins and needles since you first told us about it. And I watched the trailer again today. And, Felissa Rose stars in it. And I hear that Are You Here, Martin in my head over and over again. Tell the audience a little bit about Dark Circles, how you got that put together. And, you know, you said we can expect it this year, so I don't want to pin you down on an exact date, but let's talk about that movie. Tell me what entailed putting this thing together.
Okay, so it's been a really long time coming. It was a brainchild of Damien Maffei, who is the lead actor, and the screenplay writer is Brian Fitzpatrick, and it's about a misanthropic, a peeping Tom, who runs into a great deal of trouble. He peeps on the wrong people, and basically, it's just like it's a psychological horror thriller, and you go on this journey with Damien's character, Martin Malone, and you sort of figure things out with him. And that's what I like so much about this story, is it's a very personal perspective. And it kind of reminded me a little bit of, like, the only thing that I could think of was sort of Stir of Echoes. Do you remember that movie?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a good
Where
movie.
You're, like, going through the motions with, who was that? Kevin Bacon?
Kevin Bacon, yep.
Yeah, and you're just like, is he nuts? Or, you know, is there something, what's in the wall? So, yeah, I watched that a few times before I started directing. And, yeah, Phyllis is in it. She did an incredible job. We got Terry Kaiser in it, and that man is a talent machine. Like, I gave him so much to do, and he didn't miss a beat. And
wow.
I just got, he's like, you know, I don't know how old he is, but like, he memorized pages and pages and pages and pages of monologue and just delivered it over and over again, lots of different ways, lots of different options. He totally made the movie. And yeah, I got to brag on the man. I'm so impressed with him. He was just like, yeah, I want another one. I got a different take. You know, I was like, sure. Yeah, you got one more in you? Absolutely. Let's go. Yeah, and he actually like hung around. He came to set when he wasn't even in the scenes because he was just like really happy to be there. And that was thrilling working with him. And let me think, who else? Who else is in it? Kamara Cole, who I had worked with prior to this on a movie called Time's Up, which is a slasher. And who else? Topher Hansen was my AD, my assistant director. And he also played one of the characters in the movie, and he totally slayed. He's like kind of the comic relief, like the skeezy little guy at the office. And oh, it was great. It was really hard to direct that day because he's my AD and he was acting in the scene, but he really killed it.
Well, you know, and I'm kind of a fanboy anyway. I love what you do. And so I don't want to fanboy too much, but the difference between acting and directing, what are some of the hurdles and challenges you faced getting behind the camera? What are some of the, you know, biggest challenges you had in adjusting to telling people what to do on set?
Well, it turns out I'm a natural at bossing people around. I didn't know it. I didn't know I had it in me. But I honestly didn't need to give that much direction because we selected the actors so carefully that I mean, especially Damien, like, he knew the character so well that there was very little direction that I gave him. I mean, I'm trying to remember. There was a few times, obviously nobody's perfect, but I had a really good cast. So the movie made itself, I feel like.
Well, that's great. You know, if you're fortunate enough to have everyone in sync, that's awesome. I've talked to a few directors that didn't always have that.
No, I was really lucky. And, you know, it was a very low budget movie. And I think the total we ended up having was something like 76,000, 77, including all of the posts that I had to get the money for after the fact. It looks a hell of a lot better than a movie of that budget. And that's because like so many people pitched in for free. We got Dan Kearney, who was one of our producers. He got all of these beautiful locations for free. And it turns out that he's like the cousin of everybody in this town in Connecticut. Like everybody's his cousin. Unless they're his dad, you know, so everybody loves him. So they all came out for him, and you know, we had the postman, and we had the college, and we had, you know, everything for free. It was unbelievable. All these extras for free. People that wanted to PA, people actually paid to PA, and it was a very different experience for me because I'm not used to that kind of film setup, but it worked. It ended up working because everybody involved added something of extreme value, like, you know, Felissa with all of her knowledge of like getting financing together and her just being so bold about talking to people about money. Like I learned a lot from her as far as that's concerned, because I grew up in this kind of like world where talking about money was taboo, you know, and it always made me so uncomfortable. And she did it with such ease. And I was just like, yeah, why am I so made so uncomfortable by talking about money and asking for financing for something that I know is going to be absolutely something that they will be proud of. And yeah, so she got me over that. And so that was amazing. And plus when she acted in it, she really, I mean, she threw everything in there. You're going to love it.
She's amazing. I love Felissa. She was in Late Checkout. You're going to love it. I'm going to watch it. And if it's available on Blu-ray or DVD or whatever, I'll plunk down my dollars to pick it up. But yeah, I'm so proud of you for it. I know it's been your baby for a while. Is there one thing that sticks out in your head about it coming together? Is there like an aha moment, you know, once it's done? Is there something that really touched you when you said, wow, I did this and it's going to come out?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's been a couple of those, and most of them have been in post. Actually all of them have been in post, right? Because while I was filming, I didn't have time to think, but except for every now and then there'd be a take where I was just like, well, that's a keeper, you know? But with post, for example, our composer is this brilliant man named Alexander Taylor, and doing the score with him was true pleasure. Like, it was just like, I don't know, we communicated so well artistically. Like, I would say the most obscure stuff, like I'd be like, I want to be able to smell the stink coming out of that band-aid, you know? I would say stuff like that, and he'd be like, exactly what you mean. And you know, it was just nice. Like, we got this, like, after a while, I mean, it took a second, I was intimidated immediately we formed this language that was just ours. And nice. Yeah, it was great. And I mean, my director of photography, it was the same way with him. It was just like, after we called each other quite a bit before we started filming, got a shot list together and everything, and we, by the time we got on set, we had our own language. And I was just like, yeah, I want you to 12 monkeys it over here, and you know, do the, and you know, basically speaking in sign language. And and it made it so much easier to have that connection already, that communication already.
Yeah, well, I'm so happy for you. I really am. And when I watched the trailer, I actually want to go to a movie theater and see it. I mean, it looked like something that I would need to go. I would love to sit in a theater and watch that movie. It looks so good. So, you know, kudos to you. You have top-notch cast. So I'm excited to see it. And my audience, be excited to see it.
Sorry, I keep interrupting you. I'm hoping that maybe we'll, if we don't get it in the theaters, which is highly unlikely, but I'm gonna at least have some screenings, because I've got to see it on the big screen. It's just that beautiful. Jan Michael Losada and his team shot it. It was a 3-man team, our camera department, and it's just so pretty, and they did it so quickly, and it was pretty magical.
Well, I'm excited for it. So, audience, make sure you check out Dark Circles. It will be out sometime this year. Like I said, I don't want to pin Hannah down on a date. She actually, you know, agreed to do this podcast, and we're going to talk about Dark Circles, and we kept moving the date a little bit to try to match a release date. But we're going to talk about it here, and when it comes out, we're going to talk about it again, or I'm going to talk about it and let you guys know to go see it wherever you can find it.
Thank you.
I want to backtrack a little bit. Now, you've done a lot of, you know, film work and movies, but something that we didn't really touch on too much a couple of years ago was you were on Creepshow, the television series. And I want to know what your experience there was like versus, you know, filming a movie. You know, how was it to be on the Creepshow, the television set, and how was it working on that series?
Oh, it was absolute pleasure. I did two seasons of Creepshow, and the first season that I did was the second season of the new Creepshow television show. And then I was also on the third. And it was, okay, so Creepshow was kind of unusual as far as the TV goes, because it is much more laid back than any other television program I've ever done, ever been on. Like, everybody was having fun. And that's alone is very unusual. Everybody was having a good time and getting things done as well. It was just this wonderful, artistic, well-oiled machine. And I think that it's because the leadership there was just, they're just so lovely, just so good to their people, that it kind of trickled down and everybody was just like, you know, comfortable and did their best. And that was what the atmosphere was like both times. The first one was Greg Nicotero was my director, and I worked with Justin Long and Darcy Camden, and our segment was called, what was it called? Late Night.
I have to go back and check it out. I saw the episode, Late but I can't remember what? The segment.
Light of the Living Talk Show. Night of the Living Talk Show.
That's right.
Yeah. And then the second one, my director was Joe Lynch. And I was starring, I was the love interest with starring King Batch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Andrew Bachelor. He's a big comedian, famous from TikTok. Really good actor, really funny guy.
Well, Greg Nicotero, you know, most people know him from The Walking Dead. And he's been to Days of the Dead a couple times in Atlanta as a spectator. So he came around to my table one day and I talked to him for a few minutes. So he's a pretty, you know, I haven't talked to him like you have, obviously. He directed you, but he seemed like a pretty cool, laid-back guy. So how was he to act for?
Oh, wow. Just a delight. It was such a pleasure working with him. Like, he was just so happy. Like, you know, you have to be really quiet while the take is going on. So some of the time I was just like, did he like it? And then he'd be like, cut. Yes. And I was just like, oh, I guess he liked it. Sweet. You know? Yeah. That, like I said, is very unusual. It's just it in the best way.
So I asked this of musicians on the music podcast, but I'm going to ask it a different way with you. Living or dead, what actor, actress, or film director, and you can take it anywhere you want, who would you like to work with that you haven't worked with? You know, if they're dead, you can't work with them, but who would you like to work with, and who would you like to work with now?
I would have liked to work with Alan Rickman, and I would like to work with Brenda.
Yeah. Cool. Nice. So who were some of your influences coming up when you got into acting? I don't think we talked about that a couple of years ago. We talked about horror influences, but who were some of the actors and directors you looked up to when you got into this, you know, when you got that bug to act?
Well, I've been acting since I was very young. Since I was 3 years old, I've been in theater. And,
oh, wow. Yeah,
17 since I was in film. And so my tastes have changed. Obviously, they've matured. So, like, I guess at first, one that stuck with me throughout was Helena Bonham Carter. I always adored her as a very young person and now. I really love Tilda Swinton. I just love watching her. I could watch her all day. Recently, a few years ago, I worked with this actress named Danielle Deadwyler, and she recently starred in the movie Till. And okay. I think she might have been nominated for an Academy Award for it. Incredible actress. So she's one of those people that I could watch all day long and never get bored. And but now I find myself being inspired a lot. I've been watching a lot of older movies. Like, for example, last night we watched Spasms, and there's this guy named this very famous actor Oliver Reed was in it, and I remember watching
this guy.
Rando, just a Brit. Oh, yeah. I don't know. And I can't try to keep it classy. He was just brilliant to watch, you know, brilliant, lovely, oh, yeah. Lovely to watch. And I'm going to try to watch some more of his stuff. And whatever you do, do not watch any of his I mean, if you really like his work, don't watch any of his interviews. They kind of ruin it for you a little bit.
Okay.
Not really, a little bit, a little.
A little bit. Okay. I'll make a note of that. So I have Shudder subscriptions and subscription to Screenbox. So I'll go back and watch some of those old 80s movies. So do you find yourself, you just talked about spasms. Do you find yourself going back and kind of watching collections and things from certain time periods to
yeah,
I don't know, to motivate yourself?
Yeah. Yeah. I think what stood out for spasms with me was that it kind of had the atmospheric quality that Dark Circles has. And I found the story to be really compelling. Didn't love the ending, but I really, really loved it up until then. And I mean, I was thinking, wow, this is going to be one of my favorite movies. And man, I'd like to remake it. I don't know who would play Oliver Reed's character. Maybe
I don't know.
That'd be tough to hard
Oh,
shoes to fill,
geez.
but
I
I
can't
was
even
thinking,
think.
okay, I think Matt Berry could do it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he'd slay at it. I mean, it might be more funny, but yeah, I was thinking, yeah, just thinking about it today. That's who I'd pick so, right now, anyway.
Well, I'm going to bring up something that's really on topic today, and it there's been trailers out, and it's going to come out in June, and it's the new remake of The Crow. I don't know if you're a Crow fan, if you've seen the 1994 movie, but Bill Skarsgård is the playing Eric Draven in the 2024 version. Have you seen that trailer by chance?
I have, and I found it to be exceptionally sad and beautiful. And I'm going to watch it, but I think that movie is going to break my heart. The first one did. Oh,
Yeah.
so sad. But yeah, exquisitely well done. I don't think it needed to be remade, but I'm sure it'll be a fun watch.
Yeah, I'm in that camp, and when I love Brandon Lee's take on it, and you know that movie's almost like. I don't know. I almost worship that movie. I love it so much. It's in my top two. And when I heard they were making a remake with Jason Momoa, and then they had a couple other actors attached, I'm like, I was whined and bitched about it. But then I saw the still shot of Bill in the tats, and I'm like, I don't know if I'm sold on this. And then I saw the trailer, and I'm like, okay, I would really like this movie, I think, if it were called something else. If it wasn't in that lineage and called The Crow. If you made it something else, I think I would be all in, but I digress. You know, I
No,
can't.
you
Go ahead.
you make a very good point. There needs to be more original content, and people need to get behind it and support it. Yeah, because all of these remakes, I think everyone, the collective consciousness, is now bored of it.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get behind for them, even when it's as gorgeous as that trailer. You know, still people are going to bitch and moan about it because they're tired of that. And they feel manipulated and tricked, and they are being, you
Yeah.
know. Yeah, so yeah, original content like Dark Circles.
Dark
Sorry.
Circles. We're going to
I'm
watch
just
Dark
kidding.
Circles, Dark Circles. So, like I said, I'm not pinning you down for a release date or anything, but we're thinking late summer, maybe early
Yeah.
summer. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, late summer.
Late
I think
summer.
That my VFX and my post sound design should be done by the end of June.
Okay, cool, cool. Well, as soon as it drops, you know, definitely shoot me a message on Instagram. I'll do a little podcast on nothing but that, just to let everyone know that listens to me. It's out now, and this is where you can find it. So hopefully it'll hit some streaming services. Hopefully you'll have some physical media they can go pick up at some point. Don't want to speak for you because I don't know how you're distributing it, but whatever format we can get it in, we're going to watch it.
Awesome. Yeah, I don't know yet either. So, but there are going to be physical copies.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, you've been a little busy on the, well, I don't know if you've been super busy on it, but on the circuit, the conventions. I'm a writer and conventions slip my mind. So I was at Days of the Dead this year. Have you been to any conventions in the last couple of years? And, you know, where are you going? Are you going to be at any?
Yeah, I've done a couple, not a extremely large amount, but I think the next one I'm supposed to do is in Danville Comic Con in Kentucky,
Oh, nice.
and I just recently did Vet City Con, which was also in Kentucky, and Bowling Green, and those should be a lot of fun. The horror conventions are usually my favorite because I don't have to explain to people who I am at the horror convention. At the Comic Cons, it's more like, they're like, okay, who are you? I was just like, that's fair. I'm at a Comic Con.
Well, no, Hannah's amazing at horror conventions. And a couple years ago, she signed this DVD for me. So if you go see her at a convention, you know, she has things on her table that she will sign, and she'll, you know, she'll do that for you. But I love the way you signed this. I like you, Charlie. And if you've seen Siren, you know exactly what that means. So if you haven't seen Siren, what's wrong with you? You need to go check it out. But before you check this out, you need to check out VHS, because she plays the same character. I did ask you this a couple years ago. I love this character. Would there ever, ever in your brain be plans to play this again? Be in another Siren movie?
People ask me that all the time. And it's really not up to me. The franchise is owned by, well, the character itself is owned by Bloody Disgusting. So right. Yeah, if they want to do it, which I mean, I don't see why they wouldn't want to. There's a lot to explore there with that character. It's a fascinating world that she's from. And yeah, lots of fun stuff they could do. And if they wanted me to revisit the character, I absolutely would.
Jeez, yeah. Well, I love the character. I mean, it seems to me, especially with the way it ended too, and I don't want to give away the ending or anything for the people who haven't seen it, but go check it out. You can find it on Amazon. You can pick up a DVD somewhere. You know, I'll pick this up on Amazon or eBay or somewhere like that. And but the story is so good, and it fleshes out what you saw in VHS, because in VHS, you know, all you saw was what you saw. You didn't know where she came from or where she'd been, and but this fleshes out a little more, but it still leaves a lot of questions, which to me, I would love to see another movie kind of explaining more backstory. But you did an amazing job in this, and it's an awesome movie. Kudos.
Thank you.
And I do remember asking you last time about challenges on that movie, if you had any, and we talked about that already, but that was an amazing movie, and you were super physical in it, and I just can't talk about that one enough. And the other two I want to mention again is The Unwanted. I like that movie quite a bit, and Hold Me. And Hold Me is still a movie I think about. So for the people who haven't seen Hold Me, go check that out. It was a very emotional film. And you have some really great acting chops. So, you know, this is a Hannah Fearman love fest. Sorry.
Thank you. Yeah, both of those movies, The Unwanted and Hold Me, are probably two of the hardest emotionally speaking movies that I've ever acted in. It was grueling. Filming Hold Me, I literally ran out of tears. Like, I still wanted to cry, but I was so dehydrated from crying that I just like, I got nothing, guys. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. Well, Hold Me was sad and beautiful at the same time. I mean, the things your character was doing in that movie, you know, it made me cry too. I'm not going to lie. So
thank you. Yeah.
But yeah, Hannah is the real deal. The real deal.
That was actually written and directed by T. Snyder, and he produced it as well, and he edited it. And he never made another movie after. And
it's crazy.
I know. I guess he was just like, okay, did that, gonna go be a genius somewhere else. I don't know. He's amazing. I haven't heard anything out of him. Gosh, that was, when was that? 2000.
It's been a minute. Yeah, I don't remember what the date was, but you know, before I talked to you on the first podcast, I watched it, and I was like, I think I might have messaged you on Instagram. I was like, damn, really? that was
so sad.
It was sad. All right. Well, we've talked about Dark Circles. Is there anything else you want to mention about that particular movie? You know, we've talked about what it's about and hopefully when it's coming out. Is there anything else you want to put out there to the public so they can even, you know, get more prepared to see it?
Yeah, I don't know. I've talked about it so much. I'm not really sure what I've said and what I haven't, but yeah, we're thinking by the end of the year, and yeah, it's going to be pretty. We had very little VFX, but for the VFX is finally coming in and it looks great.
Awesome.
And that's been done by a group called Autodidactic, and I couldn't be more pleased with those guys. They're fantastic. And yeah, just keep an eye out for it. And oh yeah, and for Bunker Heights as well. That is a completely different movie. That's that creature feature that you mentioned. That is it's not just a horror movie. It's an everything. It's comedy. It's a thriller. It's a horror.
Now there's a trailer out there for it, guys. Go check it out. I checked it out and I'm really want to see it. I'm excited
Thank
to
you.
See it. And I'm excited to see. I'll be watching. Go check that out. You can watch that now, right? I'll just have
yeah,
to find
you can. And actually, I still haven't seen that one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I know. I need to see it. I'm really excited. I need to, because I was at that convention and people were coming up to me being like, well, how come you don't have a poster of that? And I was like, yeah, I forgot it came out. Yeah, I guess I got to get some.
Oh, geez. And you haven't seen it. Man, if I watch it tonight, I'll see it before you. How about that?
Tell me what you think.
I will. I will.
Yeah.
I will. All right, Hannah. It was so nice to have you on the show again. What I want to do now is try to be quiet. I know I talk too much, but if you want to promote anything, tell anyone where they can go find you. I'm going to put all the links below so people can click on it. I know you have a website, and I think you have some signed stuff you can get there. But whatever you want to promote right now, I'm going to shut up and let you talk.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically all the stuff we've been talking about, like Bunker Heights. It was written and directed by Drew Fortier. And you can follow me on, let me see, mostly I'm on Instagram, and sometimes I'm on Facebook and sometimes on X, but they also have their own Instagram pages. So go to Bunker Heights. It's got a poster of a city with a creature looming over it. And you can also check things out on my website, which is hannahfearman.com. And also, yeah, my handle is always Hannah Fearman. I'm very boring that way. And that's really it. That's all I got. Thank you so much.
Oh, that's cool. I'm going to put links to everything below. I'll put a link to the Bunker Heights Instagram page, to your website. And I thank you so much for being on the show again and taking some time. I know you're very busy. So I feel special for you even coming on and chatting with me for a little bit. So thank you so much.
I'm never too busy for you. Yeah, thank you. All right. Well, hopefully I'll see you at some convention soon.
Oh, yeah. And I am Charles Campbell, small town horror author. My latest book is called The Piano Witch. Yay. And it came out last October. You can find it at valleyboypublications.com, also with links to my Facebook pages and Instagram and all that good stuff. And yeah, that's it. Thank you again, Hannah. And we'll see you next time on Horror 421, the podcast. Thank you.
We hope you had a horrific time, lovelies. Thank you for tuning in to Horror 421, the podcast. Be sure to like us on YouTube and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.